Malakalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Trying to lighten the mood up in here?
A little bit, yeah.
Hour number two kicks off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. It's Three and Out. Houston Crest, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you for the next 2 hours or so. I mentioned the playoff committee before going to break, and obviously, like, I don't know how they select this. I don't know how long a term is for this committee. Is it? I feel like Mitch Barnhart's been on this thing for years. We had, Condoleezza Rice was on it for a while. I think the Ohio State AD was on it 1 year or 2 years. Now it's the Michigan AD. But listen to this list. Like, and do we have one advocate? Colorado's Rick George. I'm going to go no.
He's a good one.
From Houston, we have Chet Gladchuck.
No.
No ties there.
Don't know who that is.
Kansas State, Gene Taylor. No. The lone SEC representative, Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart. Kentucky hates Tennessee in football so much. And Mitch Barnhart probably hates Tennessee maybe the most because, A, we beat them in all sports. They want to be us so bad. They tried to steal our checkerboards. Like, there's – like, he doesn't care. He's getting a big paycheck. It doesn't matter to him. Marshall's Jim Grobe. Michigan's Ward Manuel. So, apparently, Chet Gladchuck is the representative for both Houston and Navy, which is interesting. NC State has Boo Corrigan along with – he also represents Notre Dame and their – I don't even know what Rod West does, but he's there for Notre Dame as well. Rutgers. You think anybody at Rutgers is a big Tennessee fan?
Should be. We got them a really good coach.
Yeah, but we kind of didn't because he stunk this year. So it's like they hate us because we didn't want their coach, and then their coach is bad, so they hate us even more for not taking him. And then Wyoming's Tom Berman. Maybe Wyoming's Tom Berman was a Tennessee advocate at some point during the committee meetings, which take place when do they meet over the weekend and watch football? Like, what's their schedule? Like, I have so many questions.
They probably meet Tuesday afternoon and just say, "All right, guys, how are we going to screw it up this time?"
Is that a conference call? Do they have to be in the same room together? It makes no sense. But yeah, I mean, it's clearly Big Ten heavy. It's like Big Ten and Notre Dame. Like,
as long as they get the four right, they don't care.
They really don't.
And it's clear on that.
Now, if Bama sneaks into the four, I'm going to have a real big problem with that somehow.
But, yeah.
If they
absolutely
somehow sneak their way in and we are behind them after beating them.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Golly.
It'd only get worse.
Might let Hickman have his moment.
Yeah. Eric tweeted in earlier, you guys should go app only. If Bama sneaks into the playoff after losing to Tennessee yeah, with the exact same record and Tennessee has a better resume, you might get app only three and out for the first time.
I hope
in show history.
Yeah, I would hope Nate's pockets are pretty deep at that point.
Yeah, yeah, because if we forget to go app only, we're all broke.
Yes.
And probably out of a job, to be honest with you.
Yes.
It's funny, too, the Alabama fans coming to the rescue of Alabama football in the Twitter messaging lately. Have you guys seen all this? Oh, you crying about the rankings? Oh, yeah. Like, what? We beat you. Why are you talking?
Yeah, it's like, hey, dumbass, okay? Neither team's getting in at this point. So, like, first of all, suck it. Second of all, at that point, nothing else matters if you're not in the top four. So who gives a damn? And, oh, by the way, the only thing either schools can point to for bragging rights this year is 52-49. So shut your mouth.
Your reaction you just gave is the exact thing they want.
I know.
Because you're fired up.
I don't care.
And that's the thing. I just think it's funny. They're like, oh, yeah, we're still ranked. What was the big tweet going around last night? Tennessee paid $100,000 and threw their goalposts in the river just to be ranked behind Alabama. Like, yeah, they're saying that as if it's a bad thing, when really all they're doing is pointing to the fact that they don't deserve their own rating at all. Do they deserve to be a top-10 team? Yeah, I think so. I think they're a top-10 team. Do they deserve to be one spot ahead of Tennessee? No. On no planet in the known universe should this Alabama team be a spot ahead of Tennessee based on what we have seen to this point in college football at all. But Alabama fans, as they are prone, have gotten the benefit of the doubt from the talking heads and the money-grabbing scoundrels of the playoff committee, and they are – they've kind of taken over, like, the Tennessee spot of hoping for chaos ahead of them and sneaking their way into the playoff, even though they don't deserve it. What did I say? What are their best wins, Hickman? Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas? That's a real that's a strong trio
and
right
Texas
there.
And Texas has been propped up all year because they are Texas. Mississippi State, probably, for being honest, only snuck into the top 25 this past week was probably because they needed to give Alabama a little bit of a bump somewhere, and that's the only place they could justify doing it.
Yeah, they slid them from unranked to 24.
Ole Miss is dog crap.
I mean, none of them about their schedules matter except the fact we beat them.
And the team we also killed beat them.
I wouldn't say nothing else should matter. I mean, if we beat them and go 6-6, like, yeah, they should be ahead of us. But in this scenario, no. Like, in this scenario, we played a tougher schedule. We have better wins. We beat them head-to-head. The other team that beat them head-to-head, we stomped. It really is that simple. And I wish the committee would just say Hooker being out caused us to drop you, because then we could argue the fact that that's an unfair, you know, projection, which is funny to me, actually, now that I think about it, because what did Boo Corrigan say? What was the first thing he said last night when Reese was asking him questions? You're asking me to make projections. I don't like to make projections. We don't like to look ahead. We like to look at right now and what has happened. Unless we're talking about Tennessee, then we're going to project that Joe Milton's not going to be nearly as good as Hendon Hooker, and this team could not compete in the playoff with any of the other top four teams. Again, talking out of both sides of his mouth, which is what he did, which is what the committee has done since Tennessee got in the stupid thing on the first release when we were ranked number one. And then to Roberto's point, we lose on the road to Georgia, we drop four spots. Ohio State loses
at home to a team home, without their best player.
Right, and they drop three spots, and they are still on the outside looking in, but sniffing a playoff berth.
I know technically Blake Corum did play, but he got like the first two snaps of the game and got pulled.
It really was two snaps, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had two carries for 6 yards, and then just as like a nice gesture, Harbaugh put him back in when they were kneeling the ball down the final two plays. It's insane, man. It really is. It's insane.
I don't know. Again, not surprised, just disappointed. I'm not even angry. I'm just disappointed in what they fed us as the reasoning that Alabama is ranked ahead of Tennessee. Because you can't use logic to explain that. You'd have to tell the truth. And they don't want to tell the truth. They want to make up stories and fairy tales about Alabama's body of work being better than Tennessee's, a complete fabrication, a complete lie. About strength of schedule being tough. No, complete lie. Tennessee's was tougher. They want to talk about good losses more than they want to talk about good wins to prop up Alabama. Because that's where we're at now, because Bama's got a shot, and man, we gotta keep Bama happy. We gotta see if there's a way we can slither them in there. Now I'm with you, Hickman. I don't think they make it. But like, that's what doesn't make the most sense to me. Is this to keep Alabama fans engaged? Is this to not just like turn off a large section of college football fans that would be watching championship games this weekend? Like, do Bama fans just tune out when Alabama's not in the playoff hunt? And they're like, well, that's millions of viewers that would be watching all of these games. We got to do this for the betterment of college football.
Realistically, if USC loses, okay, you get Ohio State. TCU, I guess, depending on how they lost, seeing as it is to a, what, top 12 team now? Top 10 team now? What's Kansas State?
10. They're 10.
I guess if they lose a close one, they could stay in. But, I mean, there is a real possibility. I mean, this is why I wanted to be number 6. There is a real possibility that Alabama squeaks in.
Okay, well, go back to the Tennessee logic. Tennessee was number 1. They go to Georgia. They lose by 14. They drop 5 spots. Or 4 spots. If TCU loses to the number 10 team and they're 9-3 on a neutral field, if they lose by 10, they should drop 4 spots.
But that's not going to happen. Because,
no, I know. But I'm just saying, like, they have set the logic. They have set the precedent. Here's what happens when you lose to a team like this, and they're not going to do it.
And like look at Michigan. Like, the way you punish teams for losing the conference championship is so different than the way you punish them in, let's just say, let's just say, what, week eight when they do the first college football playoff rankings?
Yeah.
Because what happens is Michigan, if Michigan loses to Purdue, let's say Purdue is, let's say Purdue's 5-3. Let's say Michigan undefeated, number two in the country. If they lose to a 5-3 Purdue team 4 weeks ago, Michigan probably goes from 2 to 8 or 10. If they do it now in the conference championship, Michigan's going to go from 2 to probably 4.
And I get that a little bit because you have more data now, right? Like other teams that might have beaten a good team have probably more losses. Like you look at LSU. But why is – like LSU losing to Texas A&M, that should have punished Bama.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And it should have punished LSU more than it did.
Oh, I agree 100%.
The only reason it didn't probably was to keep propping LSU up a little bit for Bama.
Well, yeah, but you look at it, A&M kills LSU. A&M almost beat Alabama. We killed LSU, obviously didn't play A&M. If you look at that and look at Alabama and Tennessee, you should say, well, maybe we need to bring Alabama down a peg because they lost to LSU, barely won against A&M. Tennessee beat Alabama, and the only other common opponent is LSU, which I know I've beat this to death this morning, but we went to LSU and hammered them. Like, by any logic you want to use with common opponents, with cross, with when you lost, with who you lost to, like, yes, I know the South Carolina loss was bad. No one disagrees with that. It was an extenuating circumstance with all that went on in the locker room. We were without our best linebacker that game, but Bama didn't play South Carolina. And I don't even know if they have a common opponent with South Carolina other than us.
Vanderbilt, right?
Or not a common opponent, but like a transitive property type situation. Like, you just can't do it. So the committee should have come out and said, without Hendon Hooker, we don't think they're good. We think Alabama's better. And I would be mad, and I would argue why they shouldn't be doing it that way. But that makes more sense than just lying to our face and saying, body of work, body of work, body of work, Alabama's better. That makes no sense. And you will not convince me otherwise.
So is the only reason why you guys think Michigan would stay in if they lose Purdue is because they played an extra game? Was that what you were saying earlier?
I think that does matter because especially coming off of a tough game against – I say tough. I mean, they ran roughshod over Ohio State. But playing the extra game is tougher for student-athletes. And, again, I think if it's not just a blowout – I mean, and it also depends, I think, if Blake Corum doesn't play or if he does because now you've got – a week of tape on Michigan without Blake Corum, so Purdue can – there's a lot of things that go into it. But I think if they lose that game and it's relatively close
– they dropped a 4.
I think, yeah, maybe. It would also depend, too, on, like, does TCU lose? Does Southern Cal lose? Like, if all three of those teams lose, then the committee's got –
They got problems.
Big problems. And you know what? I want that. I want us – to be back there, like, we're going to be mad this week and probably next week. I want chaos so that the committee has to piss off, like, 5 other schools and not get this thing right.
You want chaos even at the risk of Ohio State and Alabama getting
they've
in?
They've had it easy so far, really, right?
Oh, yeah, for the most part. Well, especially in the top four. For the top four, they've had it really easy.
Yeah.
I don't think no one's really – I mean, when we dropped to 5, it was frustrating.
You don't have, like, 5 undefeated teams.
Right, exactly. But, no, what would be awesome is if Georgia loses, Michigan loses, TCU loses and Southern Cal loses. All the top four lose, and then it's like, all right, now what? Who are you going to drop? Who are you going to drop 2 spots? Who's only going
to
drop 1 spot?
Who's going to
drop?
Talk about.
Exactly. I'd be all for it. I want the most chaotic Saturday of all time because this committee's over there and they're sipping their lemon water and they're just watching
they're
10 seconds of a game. Oh, I know,
guys. We can't have Alabama get in though.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're praying that the top four win and they don't have anything to worry about.
That's what they want.
I'd rather, I
don't care. I want Bama in. I want Bama in over TCU so they'll lose their mind. I want them in over Michigan. So Michigan's like, wait. We lost one game last game of the year in an extra game, and Bama got in over. I want that.
They're taking heat for us being 7 and them 6. Can you imagine if it's Bama at 4 and we're at 5 or something? Mm.
And then we're at 6, Michigan drops to 5, and Bama's in?
Exactly.
Chaos.
Or they jump Ohio State and get in over Ohio State.
Yeah. Or Ohio State jumps Michigan and gets in.
That's what they mentioned last week or last night.
Yeah, saying, oh, yeah, none of these spots are safe.
Yeah.
And some of that might be slotting for, like, bowl purposes because it's all about – at this point, it's all politicking. Like, Roberto was right. Like, Danny and Trent was right. If you're Danny White, you better be calling everyone on that committee, like, here, look, we want the orange, whatever you want. I don't know what it is. If he wants the Rose Bowl, maybe he, for whatever reason, wants the Cotton Bowl, or if he wants the Orange Bowl, you better be politicking right now, because Boo even admitted these spots for the teams that are done, the Ohio States, Alabama's, Tennessee's, Penn State, Clemson, it's not set. Based on what happens this weekend, we can still shift them around a little bit, which is basically admitting, like, we're going to fit this exactly how we want it and make it as easy on ourselves, or make sure we make as much money as possible.
Okay, hear me out. Here's a scenario. Let's say USC loses.
USC loses, they're out. Like, on a one-off. Like, if they're the only team.
But, like, if what I'm about to mention happens, just that alone is still not enough to move Tennessee in. But USC loses.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say LSU beats Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
A team you beat by 27.
Mm-hmm.
How much weight do you think that carries with the committee? Does it jump Tennessee up a couple of spots? What happens then?
The problem if LSU beats Georgia is, yes, that helps Tennessee, or at least it should. Now, I don't know what their statute of limitations is on games, because apparently us beating Alabama in October doesn't matter anymore.
But LSU beating Florida State, or losing to Florida State.
Oh, no, and I know.
We can take that into consideration.
That's what I'm saying.
They take that into account except for us.
Like, statute of limitations doesn't matter for Tennessee, Alabama, but for LSU, Florida State, that's exactly why Florida State's one spot ahead. So that's what I'm saying. I just don't know. But it also helps Alabama, because that's one of their close losses in overtime if LSU beats Georgia. That's the bad part about it being LSU. We stomped them. Hey, look how good we are. We stomped the SEC champion. Bama says, wow, we lost a close one on the road at the SEC champion.
Yeah, but you
and
beating
the
them by 27
say,
has to mean more than Alabama losing to them by one.
It wouldn't. Not with this committee.
You know,
you're right.
In
you're
a perfect world,
yes,
when,
yes.
where the right scenario happens, that's
probably,
what you get.
They're probably thinking, oh, Alabama played them at night.
Oh, yeah.
You played them at noon.
Oh, yeah. Bama played them at night. That was such a tough atmosphere.
You can't go in Death Valley at night. Man.
And I'd say, yeah, well, we also took 40,000 people down there. Like, even if it had been at night, we took over the stadium. Like, what's your point? They fumbled the opening kickoff, and that said, okay, what? How does that work? So we kick a pooch kick that's intentional. Like, the point of it is that you misplay it, that you let it bounce, or that you don't know we're kicking it to a guy who doesn't normally catch. Well, if they don't fumble that, but they did. That's the whole point. And then after that, like, I think we kicked a field goal on that. No, we did go down and score a touchdown. But then we settled for, like, three straight field goals. Like, LSU had chances.
Mm-hmm.
They had chances to get back in that game, and every time they'd go for it on fourth down, we slammed the door shut. But it won't matter to the committee because, that was too long ago. That was too long ago, guys. Okay, what about Bama, Tennessee? Too long ago. But Florida State, LSU in week one, that still matters. Got it. No, that makes sense. Give me chaos. I don't care. I guess in a normal year, I want it to make sense just for the good of the game. After this, no. I want a complete just explosion in the top five. And I want this committee to have to deal with it. What do you think, Hickman? Does that sound good?
I want people outside their houses with pitchforks.
Let's do it. Let's go. Here, hit the break. We'll just leave right now. Hour two continues. White Claw, Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. This song just hits a little bit different without the words, though. You know what?
Yeah.
You're no stranger to love. You know the tune. A little bit of a shorter segment here, so we'll do this is the final regular season bottom 10, because none of these teams are bowl eligible, obviously. Just remember, Tennessee fans, it could be worse as we sit number 7th at 10-2. In the bottom 10, coming in at number 10, Nevada. Weren't they, like, pretty good not that long ago?
Did we break them?
Did we play them?
Wasn't that when that guy, that quarterback came?
No, that was Utah State. That was Chucky
State.
Keaton.
Yeah,
they might actually be on this list.
Okay.
Nevada went 2-10. They did not fire their coach. New Mexico, 2-10, comes in at number 9. Number 8 in your bottom 10, Akron, who finishes the season somehow 2-9, only playing 11 games. Their longest losing streak, 9. Incredible. Charlotte, I feel like they were not that bad a few years ago, 3-9.
They have one of the top transfers in the portal right now, wide receiver.
Sign me up. That's a close grab.
Yep.
Remember in the opening week of the season, I'm pretty sure I picked Hawaii to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know how this happened. Hawaii went 3-10. I don't know how they played 13 games. Liberty comes in at 5, probably just because they started the season 7-1 and finished 8-4. Their coach leaves for Auburn, and now have they zeroed in on somebody to hire?
Liberty?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Could have sworn I saw something the other day that they were already looking at. It was a coordinator that had been a head coach before, but I can't remember his name.
I'm on it.
In case you were wondering how good the Big Ten was this year, Northwestern finished 1-11.
Who was their win? Nebraska.
That's a good question.
Wasn't it Nebraska?
Yeah, week one, right? Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So they're on an 11-game losing streak.
It's pretty impressive.
Yes.
That's a bowl opponent for Tennessee not that long ago. I mean, you housed them.
We used to always play them in Citrus.
Who was it?
Northwestern, 1-11.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, they've not won a game in the States in quite some time now.
And they've still got who's their coach, former linebacker?
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Fitzgerald.
Which you know what, guys? Like, hey, I think the Pat Fitzgerald era at Northwestern has kind of run its course. But, I mean, let's not discredit what that guy's done up there. I mean, he's brought those fans a lot of joy.
Has he?
Hell, he was one – dude, you realize he's played for a conference championship.
Well, yeah, when he played.
Yeah, but their half of the conference is terrible.
He took Northwestern to the Big Ten championship like 3 years ago. And if you remember, that year they were ranked number 11th in the country with their only loss being an upset loss to a bad Michigan State team, I think. If he didn't have that upset loss, you realize if he'd have beat Ohio State, he was probably going to the playoffs that year. Or at least going to be in the top six.
Well, no, that's my point. I was giving him credit. Like, they were really good not that long ago. They had a few really good seasons. To go 1-11, like, I'm making fun of them for being bad, but I'm telling you, the Big Ten's not good.
It's
not like they had a crazy schedule. USF had a great run in the early 2000s. They're number 3 in the bottom 10. They went 1-11. Terrible. UMass comes in at number 2, also 1-11. There were no winless teams in college football this year, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yep.
Colorado, of course, the worst team in college football, 1-11. Turnover margin, minus 12 on the season. That's fourth worst, tied with Akron. They have fired their coach, but they have zeroed in on Prime. If I'm Coach Prime, I do not take that job. I do not take
Supposedly
Colorado.
He's been offered, right? And he just hadn't accepted?
Did he say offered? I know he talked about it like, yeah, I've been in talks with them, and there may actually be an offer on the table. I'm not sure.
Well, somebody said Georgia Tech's interested in too.
That would make more sense, in my opinion, because they just fired their coach too.
So maybe that's just a better
– I think that's a better fit for him because this is where he's recruited.
Better team. Right, he's inheriting a better – well, no, didn't their quarterback just enter the transfer
portal? He did enter the portal. I still think that's a better fit. I mean, because it's Prime. He's a Falcon for a long time. It's in Atlanta. I mean, I just think that makes a lot more sense. And it just makes a lot more sense for a lot of reasons. I mean, would you rather recruit Greater Boulder or Atlanta?
I've seen some of the people out there in Boulder.
Would you rather coach in the Pac-12 without USC and UCLA?
Honestly, I feel like Georgia Tech and the ACC, I mean – a couple of good recruiting classes, that you could probably be the third best team.
There's not very many good teams in that.
No, there's not. The Pac-12 is interesting though, because when UCLA and Southern Cal leave, it's going to open up for somebody. But yeah, it feels like Oregon's in prime position. You could probably see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe one of the Arizona schools makes a good hire. Yeah, Washington. I mean, that's a. I don't want to say blue blood program, but they've got some historic value there.
All that comforts at all.
I just feel like if you're prime and you. I mean, obviously, Colorado, you have a chance to go there and be so bad that you're fired in 3 years, even if you're a good coach. I feel like at Georgia Tech, you go there, you're going to win. Just because of the talent you can get, like, you're going to win 5, 6, 7 games pretty easily.
Yeah, you're recruiting Southeast.
Yeah, and that's where he's been recruiting. I think it makes a lot of sense. Because you're at Georgia Tech, you're not going to beat Georgia, Tennessee, Florida.
People want to play for Prime.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, look at what
he got the number one recruit.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If he could do that at – Jackson State. I think he could probably do it at Georgia
Money
Tech.
Money got the number one recruit in the country.
But the, it's Prime's deal. Like, he's Barstool. It's his – it's his.
He'll get all the defensive backs.
It's his status that got Money for – and that kid would probably transfer immediately to Georgia Tech and be the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. Probably half his team, anybody he wanted from Jackson State, they'd probably transfer right over with him. Because they didn't go there for the school. They went there for Prime.
Yeah, but can those guys go compete at the Power 5 level and win games?
I think the number one overall recruit in the class last year he could.
Yeah.
He got – didn't they have like a top 20 class?
I have no idea.
I feel like he got four top 100 players and stole them from, you know, some big boys there late. But, yes, it is all about the money. And could Prime make the money work at a place like Georgia Tech? Yeah, a good point from a buddy of mine. Because of their academic standards, it's very hard for, like, NIL, portal guys, things like that. Apparently, it's very hard to get into Georgia Tech unless you're a grad transfer.
I think that's what I'm looking most forward to here in a couple of weeks, is just to see the chaos that will be happening in the portal.
Oh, well, I guess I'm late to this party because apparently Georgia Tech has already hired Brent Key.
Yeah, you didn't say that?
No.
I mean, I knew it hadn't went official yet.
I had seen it mentioned. I didn't know it was official. I thought maybe they were talking to Brent Key and Prime, and then Colorado and Georgia Tech might be Prime's decision. Maybe he just wants to stay.
Brent,
I don't know.
Brent Key was the interim, right?
Yeah, and apparently all the players on the team were, like, really advocating for him to get the job.
Well,
they actually got – they got better after he took over.
But the thing is, I thought they had the Tulane coach on lock, but – guess not.
Well, good for Georgia Tech. Good for the interim getting a shot.
I mean, like, Georgia Tech is maybe like one of the five most meaningless programs in college football to me.
Really?
Who cares about Georgia Tech?
Dude, when they had Calvin Johnson, they were must-watch. They were must-watch TV.
I was.
What was that
probably
little
five?
What was that little quarterback's name? The short guy who always just dropped back and threw it as far in the air as he could to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, it was crazy, Calvin Johnson. Was able
to do that there at Georgia Tech. Imagine what he would have done in like a pro style offense. Gosh, he was so fun to watch. What was that little? I'll find that during the break. I forget that quarterback's name, but he was he could run around a little bit.
They just throw it up.
Just lob it up to Calvin Johnson. Double coverage, triple coverage, didn't matter.
No, that's what the Lions did too.
Yeah, and then they didn't make the playoffs and
bleep it,
do anything.
Calvin Johnson never made the playoffs,
which is a shame.
I think he might have made it once.
Yeah,
they lost to Dallas.
They made a wild card game, like Stafford's second or third year there, I believe.
I think it's safe to say the Detroit Lions robbed us of some very prime years of two of the greatest players in the history of the NFL in Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
Wasn't he like only 29 years old?
Yeah, Barry Sanders was the same. That's what I'm saying.
Tired of this.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Like, I live in Detroit.
Calvin
Johnson played for the Lions.
Yeah.
What?
Calvin Johnson kind of like, he had some years left too. I mean, he was still.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Detroit Lions ruined some really good years
and then, like,
for Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
And I know Matthew Stafford's playing like dog crap now, but like imagine that guy 6-7 years ago if he was anywhere but Detroit maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he leaves Detroit first year, wins a Super Bowl.
Jared tweets in Reggie Ball. That name ring a bell? Ring a bell?
Yeah.
I was 4 or 5, Chris. No, it does not ring a bell.
You missed out on some good ACC football.
Yeah.
I got better football to watch now than that.
He'd have like 8 completions a game for like 300 yards. Calvin Johnson would have like 250 of it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. This is great stuff. Hit a quick break. Come back. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. Jump the gun a little bit on the old 9 to 5, but as you're getting ready to start your work day, the soothing tones of one Dolly Parton.
Yeah, play this because people are traveling to work now.
Mm-hmm. It's a good motivational song as they head into the old grind. I think it's pretty good.
If I play it at 9 o'clock, they might not be able to hear it. Because they'd be working,
yeah, they might
until
catch
5.
But then they catch it on the podcast at 5, and then it's still 9 to 5. So then their day's done, and they're celebrating with Dolly. Think about that. What are they going to do, turn the drive on? I don't think so. As it stands right now, December 31st, Peach Bowl, Georgia versus Southern Cal.
Boom.
Fiesta Bowl, Michigan, TCU. Is it just me or neither of those games really do it for me?
USC Georgia's kind of interesting. USC's an opponent I would have loved to play in the playoffs if we could somehow weasel our way into that matchup. But
you think it's shootout in that one for sure?
Shootout with probably, honestly, a slight edge to Tennessee. With Hendon Hooker, of course. With Joe Milton, I think they're probably 6.5.
I'm sure there's like projected lines for that game. I would say, what, Georgia by 10.5?
Maybe more. I mean, we do this every year where we think whoever Georgia's or Alabama's playing in the playoffs is going to have a chance to beat them. And
right.
And it just turns into an absolute bloodbath.
Okay, as it stands right now, your selection committee bowl games, these are considered, of course, the New Year's Six. These are the remaining four. There's really only one here that interests me. The Rose Bowl, as it stands now, would be Ohio State-Washington.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I wonder how many opt-outs Ohio State might have for that one. Like, Stroud's eligible, right? Like, he's gone?
Yeah, he's eligible.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe
he's top five pick.
Maybe even Michael Penix Jr. for Washington. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Who I think is the most exciting player in college football to watch.
How many Washington games have you seen this year? What are you talking about?
Three.
Start to finish? Highlights don't count.
I watched the Oregon-Washington game.
How much of it?
Second quarter on.
I thought you were just going to say second quarter.
No, I watched from the second quarter to the finish because once I found out that TCU-Texas was an absolute snooze fest, I flipped that over.
Oh, was that the same day? Yeah, TCU-Texas was very, very boring.
I watched the Washington-UCLA game, which he did not look very – he looked decent. The team didn't look good. They lost to UCLA. I had that on as background noise at a little gathering, and we just kind of hopping in and out watching that game. It was on the TV.
How many plays would you say you saw, like 10, 15 plays?
30, 40.
Okay. So you saw half the game.
Yeah, probably.
As background noise. It's pretty good.
I mean, like, it was one of those things where, like, I'd walk in there, stand, like, right up to the TV with a buddy for, like, 10 minutes, talk about college football.
A buddy and a bud.
Walk out for 5 minutes, come back, maybe watch three or four plays in a row, go shoot some pool. What was the other game I watched them play in?
I do have point spreads for the top five in the playoff currently if they played today.
Okay, give me one sec. I do want to hear those. I'm going to go through just okay, the next couple of bowls.
Yep.
Hickman, how interested are you in Penn State Tulane in the Cotton Bowl?
I like Tulane's uniforms. I am a big Penn State fan. So,
do you know the Tulane nickname?
The Green Waves.
Good job.
Wave.
Green Wave.
Yeah. It's one of the however many there are that don't end in S.
That's kind of stupid. Yeah, you know, one would believe that I would be interested in that matchup.
But you're not really, are you?
No.
No, not really. No.
That I don't know, it just feels like the most boring bowl game possible. Cotton Bowl, yes. Penn State, Tulane. No, thank you. Sugar Bowl, Alabama, Kansas State.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't really care. Again, opt-outs, I'd be very interested. Like, does Will Anderson play?
Bryce Young's not playing in that.
Yeah, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, like I feel like
Adrian Martinez probably might not play in that.
That's a good point. He might not play.
It might be backup versus backup.
The Milrow show, just sprinting around out there. But the this is on CBS Sports. They do have Clemson, Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. I'll be honest. I mean, obviously the playoff games are going to get all the recognition. I feel like outside of the playoff games, that would be the most watched bowl game of the year.
Yes.
Would be Tennessee Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And the way this has it set up, and I don't know if this is accurate, Tennessee would be the home team wearing orange.
Pretty similar quarterbacks, too, if you think about it. I mean, I know Tennessee's offense has been more potent on the season, but I mean.
You're saying inconsistent play from the guys who would start?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would assume it would be DJ Ukulele that plays.
Ua Ungulele, but you were close.
He's a junior, right? Don't think he's getting drafted.
No, I don't think he's going to opt out and start preparing for the draft. He's got. I guess he could, but
he's got the size and all that.
You know, yeah, he's got the measurables. He just can't play quarterback.
Joe Milton. What if
Joe Milton opts out?
What are you doing?
He has a big bowl game. They like Levis.
This is two different things. He's saying opt out. You're saying he could leave after the bowl game and go
maybe,
pro.
Maybe.
Yeah. What if he opts out? What if Gaston Moore? or whatever his name is, has to play quarterback.
If he opts, if Gaston Moore were to have to start this game, like if Joe Milton opted out or just said, I'm declaring for the draft, I'm going to prepare for the draft, which would be an insane scenario. Like, does Tennessee at that point, do we opt out of the Orange Bowl? Like, no offense to Gaston Moore. I love the guy. Good for him. But do you show up for that one if you got to play Gaston Moore at quarterback and they're going to, with that defense?
Can Nico come in and play? He can practice for the
bowl. You used to be able to do that.
Really?
Freshmen who got there for bowl practice used to be able to play in the bowl.
Wow.
And then the NCAA got rid of it.
Like Nico comes in, gets 5-7 practices.
Even if we lost the game, just to see it in, you know, firsthand would be pretty awesome. I'd be all for that.
Hear me out. It's Princeton Fant. Let him play quarterback.
The Fant run package.
Yeah.
Did he have the best throw of the year?
He had one of them.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't Baylor do that like 5 or 6 years ago? They had like 3 quarterbacks get hurt, and they just ran wildcat. I think it was against North Carolina in the bowl game and won. It was just wildcat. I mean, that's all they did, and North Carolina had no idea how to stop it.
You don't think Heupel could scheme up something for Gaston Moore and Navy Shuler to do?
Yeah, it's called hand it off to Samson Small and Wright for the entire game.
Let's say he did play.
A couple little play actions in there.
Well, let's say for some reason, Gaston Moore, Navy Shuler, insert whichever one of those guys you want to.
Throws for 380 and 5 touchdowns.
How many times, what's the over-under on pass attempts? 10?
I probably put it like 14.5.
And that's doing that on third and long.
Yeah.
Like third and long, that's
obvious
it.
Passing downs, yeah. Can Gaston Moore run around a little bit?
I'm going to assume no.
Okay, that was worth a shot. We'll get to these point spreads after we hit the final break. Hour number 2, it's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. On a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works. Final segment, hour number 2, 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. We have accumulated, compiled, and collected the potential playoff matchup lines. How do we want to start this, Brett? One team versus like all the other teams potentially?
Yes.
Okay.
So the teams would be your top 4 plus Ohio State.
Guessing right would be fun.
Let's guess. Yeah.
Let's guess. Right.
Give me the
this
first.
This is from Brett McMurphy.
Okay.
Trusted man.
So this would be the first possible matchup.
He got his from a source.
Yeah, I'm probably Vegas.
All right, so Georgia, Michigan.
Ooh. Georgia, 6.5.
I'm going to go Georgia, 9.5.
Georgia, 4.5.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, I beat you.
I would hammer the dogs on that one.
Beat you.
All right. Georgia, TCU.
Oh, gosh. Now, that one's probably 10.5, I would say.
Georgia, 12.5.
Georgia, 10.
Beat you. Again.
We both went over.
I don't care. I was closest.
These numbers are BOGO.
Georgia,
they
USC.
Are.
That's a potential. That'd be your matchup.
I'm going
right
first
now.
On this
yeah,
one.
Go
You've
first.
Gone first the last 2 times. I'm having to play off your number. That's stupid. Georgia, Southern Cal.
Just play off it better, because I've not been right on either of them.
Georgia, 7.5.
I'm going to go. Give me. That was the number I wanted. give me 6.5.
Georgia, 13.5.
Goo!
Oh, no. I almost said 10.5. I was like.
Hang on, real. What's your. Oh, yeah.
All right. Georgia, Ohio State.
3.5. Georgia.
4.5.
5. For
what? Bang! Okay. That's stupid. Okay. 2-2.
All right.
I will admit, they don't make a ton of sense so far.
All right. Michigan, TCU.
Michigan, 6.5.
Michigan, 4.5.
5.5. Michigan.
Split. Yeah.
Okay.
Michigan, USC.
Ooh. Michigan, 6.5.
I really like that number. Michigan 7.
Michigan 9.
Yes. Yes.
All right. They just played, but obviously it could be a matchup again. Michigan, Ohio State.
Ohio State by 2.5.
What?
That was quick.
Ohio State 2.5.
Michigan just won at Ohio State. You think Ohio State would be favored?
I know they'd be favored.
Michigan minus one, just to make sure I win.
It's a pick 'em.
Get out of town.
All right.
I was closer.
TCU, USC.
A pick 'em? Did they just watch what happened at Ohio State?
It's hard to beat a team twice in a year.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Neutral field, that's an advantage, Michigan.
I mean, like, look at what happened with Alabama, Georgia last year. I know injuries were a factor, but.
Injuries were a really big factor. But no,
were the factor.
Yeah, but that is a very fair point, beating a team twice.
Which that's kind of why, like, I'm not putting too much stock in Utah to beat USC this weekend.
Mm.
Just because, I mean, Utah barely scraped by on the first time. And
well, and I mentioned it yesterday. Michigan, because they played such a weak schedule, never had to really throw the ball downfield, so Ohio State didn't think they could do it, and they clearly could. They would be much more prepared the second time.
We got three more to pick.
Okay.
TCU, USC.
USC, 4.5.
It was my turn, but I'll go USC, 3.5.
TCU would be favored by 3.5.
Yes.
Ohio,
really?
Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, the stupid. Vegas loves TCU.
Let's just stop keeping score. It's
Ohio
stupid.
Ohio State, TCU.
Ohio State, TCU. Ohio State by.
It's my turn again, but go ahead.
Ohio State by 2.5.
I guess that was dead on.
No.
Oh, okay.
That'd be a shootout.
Yeah, I'll take Ohio State 4.5.
Five for Ohio State.
Oh, my gosh.
Ohio State, USC. It's the last one.
Ohio State, 2.5.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ohio State, 5.5.
Ohio State, 8.5.
What?
Boy, you got smoked on the back end of that little competition.
Those lines are stupid as hell. They're all over
the
place.
I mean, I'm sure you could go to a different one.
You weren't thinking about what, like, the ones he reads, like, if they think Ohio State's better than TCU and TCU's worse.
You think I could remember that?
Well, I was just going off quick memory there. It wasn't, I wasn't writing them down. Or was I? Was I over here typing them, Hickman? Was I trying to cheat a little bit? So, but Georgia was obviously favored in every game, right? Were they the only team that would be well, of course, against Georgia, no one was favored. But
yeah, Georgia, 4.5, 10, 13.5, 5 over the other four teams that could potentially.
And who was the 4.5? Michigan?
Yes.
I wonder if that's just a stylistic thing. Like, Michigan plays good defense and runs the ball. Georgia plays good defense, is going to try to run the ball, so they just don't think there's going to be as many points scored in that game. That makes some sense. And they probably think Michigan's going to ball control, kick some field goals.
I think I'm surprised TCU would be favored over USC.
Maybe I shouldn't be. I'll be honest. I have not watched TCU this year. I've watched a little bit of USC. I've thought all year that USC was benefiting from a weak Pac-12, but
too explosive, I think, for TCU. I know TCU.
That's
got
no. That's what I would
defense.
Think. That's what I would think. And then I.
But I watched them play against Texas, and like.
I will say Texas had a good defense this year. Like they kind of wasted it not having, and that's weird because Sarkisian, when he was at Alabama, was such a good offensive mind, and really when he was at Southern Cal, he was a really good offensive mind as a coordinator. But for whatever reason, even with the 5-star transfer from Ohio State, I wonder. Because I know this is a guy I really wanted, Isaiah Nayor, the transfer from Wyoming. I wonder if he stays healthy. First of all, he's guaranteed to start. That guy was a baller. I wonder if that one more big-time receiver on the outside would have really helped them. And then, obviously, Ewers, he did not look like he threw it the same after he hurt the shoulder. When he came back in some of those games later in the year, I mean, he was trying to throw it. He looked kind of like Bryce Young against us. Like, if he tried to throw it over 30 yards, it was just a wobbling duck.
And I think – didn't the backup Houston Card or whatever his name is?
Hudson, yeah. It's okay. I got called Hudson a lot in school. People do that all the time.
He entered the transfer portal, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Quinn Ewers against Alabama, like, it was mesmerizing to watch him sling that ball.
For the first 13 minutes.
That guy, though, with Arch coming in. And
oh, yeah, you have to. You have to transfer. We'll kick off hour number three. This is kind of a flyby show, really, honestly.
I don't think it's going as fast as yesterday, but.
Hour three next.